I'm Natalie Liu, and you're listening to the Baggage Reclaim Sessions. Hello, hello. How are you doing? Over the 242 episodes of the show, actually about to be 243, I've asked one question again and again and again that's central to reclaiming ourselves so that we stop being hostage to the past, but also so that we can be here now and move forward with more awareness and boundaries. And if you've been around for longer than a minute or so with this podcast, then you know that that question is, what's the baggage behind it? Last week, I found out that my wonderful acupuncturist, sage, mentor, ready with a hanky, Silvio, had passed away. And it's hard to even articulate just how much he means to me and what an integral part of my journey he's been. But as I recalled our many conversations and all those times I cried on him, I remembered how he'd advised me when I felt outraged, indignant at other people's shenanigans, and then I was internalizing the blame, that I needed to say, that's not mine, that's theirs, and I'm sending it right back. And what he meant was that this stuff that was being lobbed at me, you know, maybe it's something they've said, how they were behaving, their lack of boundaries, the story, the blame, whatever, that I was then carrying as my own baggage, my own narrative, was not mine. Hell, a lot of the stuff that I automatically parroted to and about myself, about life, about relationships, about how things work and have to be, actually belonged to other people, my family, peers, teachers, society, the TV, movies, books, whatever. I remember holding on to his advice and repeating it like a mantra when intrusive thoughts that played out like a courtroom drama in my mind came to call. I realized how much of an effect, though, that his advice had had on me when one time, and this is probably, I don't know, a good 12 or so years ago, my mama told me all about myself. And I remember hanging up and I was fuming, exploding momentarily in fury at her audacity, and then hearing myself say, that's not mine, it's hers, and I'm sending it right back. And I burst out laughing just at how it popped into my head and then it came out of my mouth. And I immediately came back to base. I remembered who I am. And I've had to re-remember this many, many times because this is the nature of life. What we want to do is be all like one and done, like learn something once and I never have to learn it again. That it's just like going to stick. But of course, as I talked about in the episode, and this is one of the most popular episodes, the Professor Life one, which I think is episode 89, but I'll make sure I link to it in the show notes, which will be at baggagereclaim.co.uk/243. But it's this whole thing of like life gives us pop quizzes. It's like, oh, you said you know this, you said you're done with this, you said you've learned this. Okay, here's an experience, here's a person, here's a situation, here's a thing. Show your learning. And you know what? Sometimes we pass with flying colors. And sometimes it turns out, you know, we need to revise that lesson again. This practice, though, that Silvio taught me was also a powerful lesson about how we all have emotional baggage. Like, not just us, like, not just me, every single last one of us on the planet has emotional baggage. When I'm sitting around plotting and fuming like everyone's manifesting a special version of themselves just for me, I'm not only ignoring this fundamental truth, but I'm not owning my own baggage. In fact, it was through this lesson from Silvio and then sharing it with others and exploring how I and others respond to baggage, that really got me to acknowledge how everybody has their own interior worlds. So we each have our own thoughts, feelings, needs, expectations, and desires that reflect our boundaries and values or our lack of awareness of them. We each have our own personality, characteristics, resources, level of abundance, circumstances, and backstory. And when we acknowledge this interior world, these experiences, this individuality that also makes us similar as well to our fellow humans, we get to be more boundaried. And we stop making things that aren't about us, and we start owning our own boundaries. We start stepping back from the stories and programming and acknowledging the old misunderstandings, the criticisms, the judgments, the unproductive and harmful lessons that we've picked up along the way that adulthood is actually getting us to unlearn. And it's also about recognizing the old hurts and losses that we're carrying, as well as what we think we know about ourselves and the world. It's like when we are frustrated with a loved one or not so loved one, we have to wonder, does this person have their own personality, characteristics, circumstances, level of abundance, resources, backstory that have anything whatsoever to do with how they are today, with what they may have gone through in life, with how they might be reacting? And of course, the answer to this is yes. We didn't make the person we're frustrated with. We didn't like construct them and then like be like, oh, they're this, they're this, they're this, and they're that. And then being like, whoa, why aren't they doing that? Like, they're not, they're their own person. So when we consider that they have these six things and more, then we have at least six reasons that have nothing whatsoever to do with us. Nothing to do with our worthiness and deservedness. Nothing to do with like, I made them, I provoked them. Those six things alone, right? Dallas, oh. Even if I don't know all of the ins and outs of what their personality, characteristics, resources, level of abundance, circumstances, backstory might be, that right there is acknowledging, oh, they're a different person to me. I am not in control of them. In these situations as well, we can be like, okay, well, how do those things potentially inform their relationship with boundaries, saying no, their attitude to conflict, whatever it might be? Do they have their own fears, their own motivations, their own desires, their own agenda? Yeah, they do. We could literally be the best, most well-behaved, fan-dabby-doozy person on earth that ever did live. And people would still feel the way that they're going to feel and think the way they're going to think and do what they're going to do. We don't have the right to demand another version of them just because we feel like we put in a lot of effort. We feel like we've been a good girl, a good boy, a good person. We feel that we don't deserve whatever they've done or that we haven't done anything wrong. So it's like, why aren't you different to how you are? That doesn't mean that we should be cool with whatever it is that they've done. We just don't have to be gaslighting ourselves into believing that something about us made them do it or that something about us should have made them not do it. I remember sitting at my father's funeral, listening to my aunts describing how he'd basically been brought over from Jamaica to England at 8 years old and plunged into struggling, poverty, and effectively raising four sibling sisters he hadn't known or met before his arrival, while my grandparents worked and tried to forge a life for them all. And you have to understand, his life in Jamaica was radically different to how it was here. He had a very good life in Jamaica with my uncle. They had two nannies apiece. He was having a life of Riley. Next thing, he comes to England. It's cold. People are making fun of his accent, how he looks. The signs all over the place saying no blacks, no dogs, no Irish, right? Life was tough when he came to England. Never mind the entirely different family life that he had and the sudden amount of responsibility that he was given. I'd never heard about this. You know, I knew my grandparents as my grandparents. My grandparents were so loving. I'm not saying that they weren't loving with my father and my aunts, but you know what, right? Things were very different back then. As my aunt said a few days before my dad passed away, we got a very different version of my grandparents. They saw a totally different side to them when I and then my brother and the rest of my cousins and siblings came along. I realized that day that I didn't just have one parent, my mother, who had been left behind in Jamaica as a baby to be raised by extended family in, yeah, pretty good living circumstances. That I actually had two. I had two parents who had been left behind in Jamaica, who had been brought over to England at 8 and 10 years old, respectively, and who were actually quite traumatized by what they experienced. Yeah, my dad came into a close-knit family. My mom didn't. My mom went through a lot. This in no way takes away from their responsibility towards myself and my siblings. I'm not absolving them of where I've been underparented. I just know that it ain't about me. Okay, it's not about how worthy I was. It's not about, oh, I came out of my mother's birth canal and they should have like spontaneously combusted into fully functioning parents who have basically sorted out their lives. Both of my parents actually grew up too soon. My parents were probably exhausted before they were even 18 years old. It's no wonder they got up to some of the shenanigans that they did when I was growing up. Acknowledging what I know about their personality, characteristics, resources, level of abundance, circumstances, backstory explains a lot without it needing to be like, it's all my fault. I made them this way. They should be different because they made me. Why should they? Why should anybody be different? We're adults now, and we see how hard it can be to break old patterns that we're aware of, never mind the ones that we're not aware of. We see how hard it is to break habits we no longer want. So why are we acting as though it's only hard for us and no one else? Or why are we acting as if, do you know what, this is hard for everybody. Everybody's struggling with this, so why the hell should I bother with boundaries? It's not our fault that we have baggage. It's part of living. We've been here, we've lived, we've experienced stuff. But it is our responsibility to address baggage that stops us from treating ourselves or others with love, care, trust, and respect. And the easiest way to do that is with boundaries. We only avoid saying no and stick to well-honed but nonetheless annoying, frustrating, sometimes downright harmful patterns because of our baggage. Only reason, we can call it a million and one other things and dress it up in a bow where we say that, you know, we're just trying to be this kind, generous, nice, loving, benevolent person that doesn't want to hurt feelings or cause confrontation. But if we think avoiding no and boundaries is how to be this kind of person, well, that's our baggage speaking up for us there anyway. Anytime we find ourselves going into autopilot, thinking, feeling, doing, and choosing what we already know doesn't work, we do have to ask, what's the baggage behind it? When people get on our last nerve, piss us off, disappoint, reject, and hurt us, it's not that they haven't done these things, but we also need to acknowledge the baggage behind our own response, especially if we're blaming ourselves or trying to overturn what happened with people pleasing, or we're demanding that they change, or we're demanding like a do-over. What's the baggage behind it? Where else have we felt, fought, acted, and chosen similarly? Who or what does this person or situation remind us of? It's also about taking a bit of a step back and acknowledging the baggage behind other people's behavior. What might be going on here? Or what do we know? Or even what don't we know? To be clear, We don't consider other people's baggage so that we can find yet another reason to have no boundaries, to people please, to try to get up in their business and try to be the solution to their problems. That's not what's going on here. As I said in episode 199, we don't need to psychoanalyze people to decide whether or not to have the boundary, because that's, well, bad boundaries. Boundaries aren't about whether people can or can't cope with them, not least because no one ever got comfortable having boundaries by never actually learning to respect other people's or their own. This is how we self-actualize. This is how we get out of codependency. This is how we learn to distinguish between us and others. We learn where we end and others begin. We consider the existence of their baggage so that we are more truthful about what's going on, instead of going into, you know, that inverted narcissism where it's like, oh, this is the they're out to get me and screw me over show. The truth is, when people don't bend to our will and comply with our agenda, they're sending our baggage back to us. It's like, mate, I met you last week. We've been on two dates. If you're expecting me to behave like we're in a relationship and you're mad at me because I'm not who you imagined I'd be, or because I won't own your anxiety about whether this is going to become a relationship that lasts forever and ever, that's your stuff. It's like, yes, you've made an effort, but that's your effort. So it's your responsibility. And if you use your effort in that way, or you think it entitles you to me changing or giving you what you want, that's your baggage, not mine. Again, it's not that people do not do us wrong, because yes, they do. It's not that people haven't pissed us off, let us down, whatever it might be. But we wouldn't respond in the way that we are unless we already had baggage about this. Because humans are creatures of habit, and we're not up in here coming up with brand new moves for everything we do. We go with what's on file in our subconscious and nervous system, something I talked about in episode 230. That doesn't mean that the other party doesn't have their own baggage in the situation. But we have to take more responsibility for our response instead of acting like it's everyone else. That also tells us that much as we might want to blame us or to assume that we know all there is to know about a person, they're responding based on habit too. If they, for instance, overpromise and underdeliver, that's their emotional baggage. That's their habits, not a result of us not having proved ourselves good enough for them to stick to what they said originally. In any situation, and that includes with people who we have known our entire lives because, you know, they're our family, there's our baggage and there's whoever else is involved baggage. So we do have to, when we keep coming up against the same frustrating situations, feelings, thoughts, behaviors, attitudes, we have to ask, what's the baggage behind this? What's the baggage behind what's going on with me? And what might be that person's baggage? Because sometimes we're so caught up in our own stuff that we actually haven't really allowed ourselves to truly see and hear people and recognize where they are coming from. The more that we acknowledge that there is more than our baggage in a situation, that everybody has their baggage, is the more we allow ourselves to be free from owning other people's stuff. And it's also the more that we allow us to own our own stuff with healthier boundaries that allow us to move forward with love, care, trust, and respect. Thank you so much for listening. See you next time. And take care of you. Thanks so much for listening to the Baggage Reclaim Sessions. If you'd like to say hi, or you want to let me know what you thought of an episode or of the show in general, or you'd like to suggest a topic, the best place to get a hold of me is on Instagram. I'm at NatLue. That's NatLue. You can find links to it and my other social channels in the show notes at baggagereclaim.co.uk/243. There is a full list of episodes at baggagereclaim.co.uk/podcast. And if you've enjoyed the show and you haven't done so already, I would love it if you could subscribe in whichever podcast player that you're listening in. And if you could take another moment to rate and review the show, that would also be fab, because it all helps with spreading the word. The Baggage Reclaim Sessions doesn't feature external advertising. So if you're enjoying what I share on here and you'd like to support, you can do so by checking out the blog. I have classes, I have courses, and I've also got my books and audio series. And you can find all of these on the main website at baggagereclaim.co.uk or .com.